I'm doing what I call a standalone message here this Valentine's weekend, and it's not going to be a message just about relationships only, and about romantic love and so forth and long-lasting friendships or marriages. I'm talking here this morning here about a thing that's called the benefits of being authentic. So I really believe that one of the main keys to having lasting relationships and having the love of God flowing in us and through us is to be real and be authentic in the body of Christ. Amen. So this may do more good. If you'll take notes, write some things down, listen very carefully this morning. This message may do more good than a marriage conference or a marriage seminar or something like that, because I found when people are authentic in their love and their lives, that all things start falling into place automatically. Okay, so this helps out the singles, the married couples, all peoples that are here. And we've been talking here about moving forward in life in the series I've done for about 5 weeks in a row. And I'm going to shift into something different in about 2 weeks. Please try, if you can, to come back Sunday night next week. If you're here involved in leadership in our church, we're having a leadership meeting at 6 o'clock next Sunday night upstairs in the youth room. If you can come to that, please put that also down in your notes here. But we're really trying to take and go into a realm here where I sense God's going to start dealing more and more with our hearts, being prepared to desire more of Him. And I really am just getting in my own heart and my own life more of a hunger for worship, more of a hunger for praise. I want to see my car, my heart, my house fill up with more and more things and sounds and music and things that would stimulate the atmosphere to be bringing in God's presence more and more. Also in this place as well, I realize all of you that are out there, you're facing sometimes sick attitudes. You're facing sometimes backbitings and slanders. You're facing sometimes mean people. You're facing adverse circumstances. Sometimes there's a whole lot of lack of finances. There's sometimes health issues that are there. Understand that God sees all of that. And one reason that God told the disciples, the first thing I want you guys to do is to establish local churches, is God knows that we need each other. You will never have your needs met upon this earth by having a home church on television, okay? And so if you get sick sometime, praise God, that's good, a good substitute to have that for that. But we need to get our bodies close together, because we have angels, we have our spirit man that comes together in places like this. The Holy Spirit also, the Bible says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so God himself, through Jesus Christ, also is right here among us in gatherings like this. And so God wants to do good things for us when we come together as a congregation. Amen. That's kind of a side trail there, but I just want to take and encourage you guys. Be faithful in the house of God. Thank you for being here today. You guys are probably all up really late last night, just wooing over your spouse. You guys might be tired and worn out from all the things you've done there. But may God give you strength to be awake, listen, absorb, and even take and write some things down. The benefits of being authentic. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ." Notice here he says, I want you to be sincere, I want you to be authentic, and have no offense in you until the day of Jesus Christ. One of the main things that causes offense to happen, I found, is people are being fake, they're not being authentic, and they're not being real. Amen? There's three kinds, basically, of inauthentic people. I'm going to use that word different times today. Inauthentic people, the first group is those that are what I call the stealers. The stealers are those who take and try to find a celebrity, they find a role model, they find a charismatic pastor, evangelist, or individual, and they find themselves trying to mimic that person. They steal their speech, their actions, their mannerisms. They act like them, talk like them, drive the same car they drive, have the same clothes they've got. They're just like a little mini-me of that person. They're also called like codependents, okay? God is not calling us to be inauthentic and steal someone's identity. You need to be who you are in God yourself, amen? Second kind of person is called those who they meet expectations and adapt to things around them, to meet expectations of people around them in life. They are adapters. They adapt to folks in the culture. They adapt to their own family's culture. They adapt to their nation's culture. They adapt to the people at school, in high school, and middle school, and college as well. They adapt on the workplace. They become like the culture of those that are around them. They are adapters who meet the expectations of people. And these kind of folks also wear themselves out trying to be something they're not anointed or called to be in their lives. The problem is, again, they wake up one day and they say, who in the world am I? They're torn in so many pieces, so many directions, trying to be like somebody else and adapt to all the cultures around them. They can't find out their true identity. And the sad thing is, some of us even adapt themselves to even Christian culture in sometimes religious realms. And God is saying to us again, understand and realize God wants you to be yourself. God made you like you are because God likes you the way that you are. Amen. He will take and file away some rough edges, take away some ungodly characters from us as we allow him to do that. But he wants you to be you because God likes you the way that you are as far as how he made you in your life. The third kind of person, number three, are those that are called the opposites. And the opposites are those that say to you, they'll say, whatever you expect me to be like, I'm going to be just the opposite. We see that many times in teenagers. We see that sometimes in those that are having very, very negative, stinky relationships in marriages or in their household as well. Whatever you expect them to be like, they try to become just the opposite of that in their lives. Now, what do we call that? We call that acting out, because they're acting like someone that they are not. All three of these, the stealers, the adapters, the opposites, are all inauthentic people trying to be something they're not, and they're wasting a whole lot of energy in their lives trying to be that in their marriages sometimes, in their relationships, as far as being a person of God upon the face of the earth. I'm praying today, if you find yourself in any kind of a small way identified in this message here, we're going to let the Holy Spirit give us a realm to have an anointing here to see ourselves become more and more real and more authentic for him in Jesus' name. The real popular country singer, his name was Johnny Cash. This guy sang a song years and years ago about a man that was on an assembly line in General Motors. And he worked there for years on end. And he got sick and tired of seeing people making these great big nice fancy Cadillacs. And he could not afford one for himself on his wages. What this man did was, in the song, he began to take and in his lunchbox bring home pieces of the Cadillac day by day, week by week, month by month, sneaking out even somehow the fenders, the taillights, the headlights, the interior parts, little by little. But the problem was, it took him 20 years to get every part of a Cadillac. When he finally put all the parts together, he had a great monstrosity on his hand. This song, I understand, was called, I Got It One Piece at a Time. Well, the fact is, many of us as believers and Christians and human beings on the earth are getting our lives one piece at a time. It's been sewed into by our parents, by our families, by our peers, by the media, by our education. We got our lives, how we are today, how we think today, one piece at a time. What we come up with by doing that is a monstrosity also in our lives as well. We must go back to the manufacturer. Go back to the maker of all creation. Let him put our lives together in his image and his likeness. He's got a plan for each one of us, not to be a monster, but to be a person that looks more and more like Jesus Christ looks, with the giftings and callings and identity that God has placed in us by his power and by his spirit. Amen. So Matthew, let's look at Matthew 16 now. Matthew 16 on the screen, starting in verse 24. We're going to move on here about being authentic. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. And it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose his life. Whoever loses his life for my sake will actually find his life. Jesus Christ is saying here, follow me in your life. One of the keys to finding your life is you cannot take and you cannot follow the crowd. You must realize that Jesus Christ goes against the grain every single day of his life. He's a very, very countercultural type of person. The kingdom of God says you got to die to yourself, die to your culture, die to your own kingdoms around you. Pick up your cross, follow Jesus Christ, and say, I now belong to a new kingdom, God's kingdom. I want to be following you every place you go, Father God. Not just my culture, my family, my background. I want to follow you in your culture, your kingdom, your desires every day of my life on the face of the earth. I'm praying to God again, revival will break out more and more upon this nation, nations around the earth as well. What it takes, though, there is people learning what it means to die to themselves and say, Father God, I realize if I try to preserve my life, make my life, make it my kingdom come and my will be done, I'm going to be living a very, very lonely, unsatisfied existence on the face of this earth. I must know what it means to die to myself and say, Father God, now raise me up in resurrection power. Help me become more like you are upon the face of this earth. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. We talked about getting serious with God about 2 weeks ago. Today is about the very foundation stones of Christianity, and that is being real with God and being also authentic with each other in relationships, in our families, in our church, in our workplace, and above all else, being authentic with the Lord your God. Because God wants people that walk in truth, that walk in light. There's no shadow of turning in them, just like with him as well. And so, first of all, realize, number one, realize that Jesus himself was real. Write that down, if you would, in your notes. Jesus was real himself. Philippians 2, 5 and 8 through 8 says this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming to the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. When Jesus Christ came on the earth, he took on real flesh. He took on real humanity. He became a real person who had all the five senses you and I have. He felt cold. He felt heat. He felt tired. He got sometimes upset by things around him. He felt mosquito bites. He felt all the things we feel in life. He was a real person on the face of the earth. Now, of course, the fact is that Jesus Christ himself did do impressive things. He turned water into wine. He caused deaf ears to open. He made blind eyes see. He cast out devils. He did miracles almost all the time. He did very, very impressive things. But the fact is, it was not to impress people doing impressive things. Amen? He was a real God, real man who did real things because he loved people around him on the face of the earth. Secondly, Jesus Christ encouraged people to be real. He encouraged people to be real. That's why he had such a problem with the Pharisees, because they were anything but real. He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, who were always trying to fake it till they make it, and always trying to pull the wool over people's eyes and appear to be something they really were not. They had wide prayer shawls on. They wanted the chief seats in synagogues and temples. They always wanted people to see them in a fake way, bigger than they were. Jesus Christ, he wanted to always point people to God, to the Holy Spirit, to himself as the Messiah, as God who loves people and lays himself, his life down for them. Thirdly, Jesus Christ wanted real people to be around him. The disciples of Jesus Christ were not actually the elite club in Israel that day. He picked fishermen, a tax collector, accountant, doctor, physician. He chose everyday, real, simple people around him because he saw their hearts. One reason I was drawn to Cheryl years and years back in our dating time at Christ for the Nations in our early 20s was she was always a real person. Jesus Christ was always drawn to real people. You get what you see is what you get. Amen. He bypassed the Pharisees, bypassed the Sadducees, bypassed all those having degrees in Bible colleges. He took the folks who were real people and began to shape them, mold them, make them in the image of God and pour things into them, because God works with and is drawn to people who are real. Now, Tree of Life Church, we have many folks. Most of our folks, almost all of our folks, are like that today. And that's why I choose and I love being here on Sunday mornings like this. We have got real folks who they are what they say they are. They do what they say they do. And they are more and more like Jesus Christ, I believe, also every month of their lives as we grow together in the things of God. Amen? Fourth thing about Jesus, number four, was he always helped real people. Jesus Christ didn't care how poor you were. He didn't care how sick you were. He didn't care about your pedigree in religion, where you came from as a nation. Didn't care if you were a Samaritan or a Jew. He didn't care about how much money you had or did not have. Jesus Christ reached out to real people in a real way. He always helped real people. There's only one group that Jesus Christ could not help, and that was the pretenders. Those who faked it, those that pretended in life, those are the ones that Jesus Christ could not help. You don't see in the Bible how Jesus Christ laid hands on Pharisees and they had their blind eyes open, their deaf ears popped open and so forth, because he could not help pretenders who faked it around him on a daily basis in his ministry upon the earth. And so the last half of this message now this morning is going to be about what Jesus Christ had to take and say to people about their inauthenticity. Now I'm going to say some things here about the Pharisees primarily. I'm not aiming these words that are kind of harsh towards you. You guys are not like this, amen? But the Pharisees had some major problems of being inauthentic. And I want you to discern and see some things here that may crop up in our lives in a very, very small, minor way. And those things should be resisted if we'll just do that, amen? And say, Father God, help me be more real. Help me be more authentic. I don't want to walk in inauthenticity of my life at all, any days of my life, if I can help it with your grace and your strength inside of my life. So there's four things to write down this morning, four aspects about inauthentic people. We want to find ourselves resisting, but also being informed and knowing about to discern these things also in lives around us. So we find ourselves getting stronger in God and being more effective in God. Number one, first aspect about inauthentic people is they focus on actions instead of attitudes. They tend to focus on actions instead of attitudes. We find this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, 27 and 28 on the screen here as well. And it says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with their brothers without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Pretty strong words, amen? This is Jesus talking, not the devil, okay? This is Jesus. Moves on and goes and says this. You've also heard it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, most of us have heard these words spoken before in messages, sermons, reading the Bible ourselves, and we wonder sometimes, what is Jesus Christ really meaning by this? Is he really saying to us, if I simply say to a person, you fool, it's as bad as actually doing first-degree murder on someone out there in the streets or in my house? Is it really what God's saying here is, if I have a lustful thought towards some lady or some man someplace, it's as bad as committing actually physical adultery with them in a physical act? Now, we know in our own common sense mind, that's not really the case. It's not, we don't find the same results take place by actually committing adultery physically as opposed to thinking about somebody lustfully in our minds or in our hearts. What is Jesus really saying about this? The question this morning is, did you ever confront somebody in your life who had a sick attitude? Did you ever confront someone like that? You didn't like it. Now, why was it a hard thing to do? Because they always, almost always, tend to defend their actions. They will always come back to you and say, well, I might have done X, Y, and Z, but I did not do A, B, and C. They always defend the actions of their lives, and they very, very rarely deal with their hearts or their attitudes in their lives. Jesus Christ is telling the Pharisees, their attitudes are just as stinking as those who have got bad actions taking place in their lives. What he's saying here is, murder and committing, or telling folks they did things out of anger they did not even really do perhaps, is on the same paint chip as each other. They're only a lighter shade of the murder. The anger and saying you fool and calling folks names out of anger is a very, very much lighter shade of the very dark shade of murder in the lives of people around us. Same thing's true of lust and adultery. Lust is on the same paint chip as adultery in a very much lighter shade. One brings in tremendous negative ramifications. One, not so much. But Jesus Christ is saying here is, don't just look at actions. Look also at the heart and the attitudes of your life, because inauthentic people will major upon the actions but totally negate and totally sidestep the heart and the attitudes inside people's lives. Amen. Number two, inauthentic people also tend to focus on what they do well. They focus on what they do well. Matthew 23 and 20, 23 and 24 verse here says this: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, who are called hypocrites." Very bad word. "For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin. You've neglected, though, the weightier matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." You see, the Pharisees are very, very good and careful about taking and pointing out things they had in line, like giving tithes of their cinnamon and their anise and their mint and their dill and their jasmine and whatever else there. But they left out the weightier, heavier thing of heart issues, attitudes, and being right with God and showing justice and mercy and kindness, and the fruit of the Spirit was not in their lives. You see that? An inauthentic person will bonus the things they do well and will discount what they do not do well. They write their own exams. They ace those exams. Then they go ahead and brag about acing the exam they wrote. That's what Pharisees do. Amen? It's like I was in one time about 10, 15 years ago, probably 12 years ago in China. For the first time, they're going to a place. Actually, I was in with Cheryl in, first of all, a place called Chiang Mai, Thailand, with a group of a couple of hundred missionaries came together from all denominations to take and talk about translating all dialects of Chinese languages into the New Testament Bibles. And so one young man was very, very vocal. This guy had Pharisee written all over him. This guy was prideful. This guy was arrogant. And he began to blurt out one day during a session, "My group has got the Mai Tai Tsinghua language. You guys don't have that. We do. Nana, nana, boo, boo. We are better than you are." And I thought to myself, they might have figured out all these languages to the T. They got a stinking attitude in doing it. They're bragging. They're loud. They're arrogant. They're being totally obnoxious and turning folks off around them. The Pharisees like that themselves. They would take and they would write the tests. They would ace the tests. They'd brag about acing the tests they wrote. They focused on what they did well. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 says this: "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." God is saying to us again, that's why it's important to read the Bible, spend time with believers that are strong in Jesus Christ. Let God be your template to see what true righteousness, right standing really is in your life. We hear about folks out there that are non-Christians saying, "I cannot go to churches because there's too many hypocrites in the churches." Maybe they're seeing things like folks that are trying to major on the minors and minor not on the majors. God is telling us again, let's major on the majors and don't let ourselves have pet peeves and pet things we find ourselves mastering and doing well, and then folks around us can fall by the wayside. So if we do these things, if we take the exams, AC exams, brag about the exams, what's the next thing that takes place in these people's lives? Number three is this: they flunk others. They will then flunk others around them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it verifies this, and Jesus goes on and says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. With what judgments you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite." There's that word again. "First, remove the plank from your own eye, then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And all wives and husbands said, amen. Hopefully not. God bless you. God's saying to us here again, those who take and make their own tests, ace their own tests, brag about their tests, are the same folks who will actually fail and flunk all other people around them somehow, some way. This should not be so. Notice how Jesus Christ also is pairing a couple of concepts in these verses. He does this time and time again throughout the whole entire New Testament. He's pairing the word hypocritical conduct, inauthenticity, with the word judging, okay? hypocrite, judging, being paired together by Jesus Christ, okay? It shouldn't surprise me because judgmental people are normally hypocrites. Isn't that true? Those that are judgmental are normally hypocrites. Now, you did not come to Tree of Life Church on a Sunday morning to go through a long, extensive Greek word study. But I do have to give you guys two words today to drive this point home and make this clear. Try to listen here very closely. We're going to go through two words in a moment here and find out what a hypocrisy, judging person, how it goes together, where these words actually come from, and what did Jesus Christ mean when he said hypocrites are those who judge others in unjust ways. The word judge in the Greek language is the word krites. Krites. Not important to know how you spell that. Just know it's pronounced krites. The word criteria comes from krites. Criteria means what? It means the basis for judging. Criteria is the basis for judging. So the word krites means to judge. The word for under in the Greek language in the Bible is the word hypo. You get the word hypodermic or hypodermis, which means the under part of the skin or a needle that goes under the skin, or the word hypopotamus. It comes from an animal that lives mainly under the water, underground it seems like. So hypo means under. Krites means judge. Put those two together, what do you get? Hypocrites. Hypocrites means hypocrite. Hypocrite means one who judges under. Why is that important for you and I to know that? Because he defines here how you identify inauthentic people is they're those who will judge under in their lives. I'm going to elaborate more upon this. In America, we have a popular public justice system, and a whole lot of light is shed upon people getting justice in our courts across our nation. Praise God for that. But what if a couple is getting divorced and the judge or the official in charge there tell the wife, we're going to give everything to your husband. He gets the house, the car, the money, the dog, the cat, and full custody over all your children. He gets everything. What would the wife say? She would say things like, what's the basis for this? Who's the judge in this? Did anybody testify for me? And they would say back to her, no, we don't know. Doesn't matter. Don't care. She'd say, where did it take place at? They would say, in a back room back here, all these things were determined. What that is defined there as is judging under the wrong authority. When we judge people, don't let God be their judge. How many folks know that God judges people righteously? And God's judgment, the Bible says, always brings blessing and justice. Man's judging brings condemnation, guilt, religion, pride, arrogance, hurts, wounds, bruises, and offenses. Okay? We need to have God's justice, not man's justice. Amen? God's judgment, not man's judgment. So that's why even Christ himself said, no man will judge me. I am judged by my Father. Because only he is wise enough, smart enough, and righteous enough to judge people or judge me in a righteous, good way. Hypocrite, judging under, it means it's going to fail folks around you every time. Hypocrites will always flunk everybody else around them. They'll flunk every pastor. They'll flunk every pastor's wife. They'll flunk leadership teams. They'll flunk the praise and worship leader. They'll flunk the ushers back here. They'll flunk the entire body of Christ. They'll flunk entire churches. They'll flunk their nation, their government. They will flunk everybody around them because they're making carnal, fleshly judgments, judging under the wrong authority. Amen? Number four, think about authentic people. Inauthentic people is this. They care about mainly their image. They care about their image. That's why it's very dangerous for insecure, rejected people to be in authority. The Bible says when a prince or a wounded person rules, the earth shakes under such a person. They care about their image. Matthew chapter 23, verses 3 through 5. Let's go back here and read this. For they bind heavy burdens that are hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works, notice this, they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, enlarge the borders of their garments. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, Here's that word again, hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all manner of uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to me, or to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and, notice this, you're also full of lawlessness. All their energy went to their masks and their facades for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law that care about their image, all right? Jesus Christ was saying here, if you want to follow me, find your life, but follow me in being real in your life. What God's saying to us today is he wants authentic people to understand that God loves real people. God is drawn to real people. God wants us to always be authentic with each other, with the body of Christ, with him himself, because God is a real person himself, God in the flesh, who's always real with us. No shadow of turning in him. I'm going to give you now four last things briefly here before we close the service. Go into a time of prayer, a time of praise perhaps as well. Please write these things down. What is the benefit then of being authentic? What's the benefit of that? Why should I be real? Why should I not be a faker or a stealer or do the opposite around me? Why should I not be an adapter in my life? There's four good reasons for that. Number one, first of all, it would end the exhaustion of pretending. It will wear you out being somebody you are not. Amen? Pretenders exhaust themselves. Back when I worked at a construction trailer in Kyle, south of Austin, back about 15, 12 years ago there as well, I was in a place where for a season, all these farmer home starts began, sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8 homes a week. I stayed very, very busy for a season in that trailer. I worked there for 12 months total. But as time was going by and the homes were being built out, all of a sudden, the work got less and less and less and less, and I found myself getting exhausted trying to look busy in the trailer. I had the construction superintendent walk in sometimes. I'd be reading the newspaper. He'd say, there's something really wrong here if I'm paying you to read the newspaper. So I found myself sweeping and mopping and cleaning up and staying busy all the time, somehow, some way. It exhausting me to pretend I'm staying busy in that trailer the last few weeks on that job. God is telling you and I, it will exhaust you to be someone you're not. Amen? Secondly, it also would allow you to come out of hiding. In the place of hiding, what happens? The place of hiding is always in a dark place. Behind the couch, in the closet, out there in the garage, where all the spiders and snakes and scorpions are at. Hiding is also a scary place. It's also a lonely place. Those who are not authentic find themselves going into hiding in dark places, scary places, lonely places. And God is saying, if you just be real and authentic, you're going to find out people will accept you for who you are, not for being a fake. I don't need you to raise your hand right now, but how many folks would say today, I know a fake when I see one? You see, when people see fakes, they reject them. They walk away from them. They don't want to be around them. People are drawn to real people in life. And I'm saying it would give you more and more people. It would give you more and more a place of not hiding in your life. Thirdly, number three is you would make a whole new group of connections also in your life. You got to realize who you are like is what you're also going to find yourself being drawn to and being drawn back to you as a friend. If you be a real person who you really are, the people that you are going to draw to yourself are those that are going to be like you are in a genuine type of a sense. What that means is you're going to find yourself being drawn to people with the same tastes, same giftings, same callings. As far as your close group of friends would go there, God will draw the right people around you to give you strength, encouragement, counsel, blessings together in Jesus' name. Otherwise, being a fake person draws the wrong crowd around you and brings in confusion, exhaustion, despair, and things of a negative nature. Last of all, number four, what it does for us is it allows us to connect with our Maker. When you're real, you get connected with God because God looks after and is drawn to real people. When you come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what does he say? Come as you are, all your sins, all your disappointments, all your mistakes, all your filth, come as you are, be real, and I'll be your God, your Lord, your Savior. Confess that you can't save yourself, that you need a Savior. You can't be good enough, can't do enough to make me happy and earn salvation. All those that come to me, heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. But I come and give those things to real people in life. As James is about the platform, help me out here in a moment, please. In fact, the entire praise team can come back here if you do that also. Help me out in a moment. I want to give you guys one last story here, a true story about a man in Dallas, Texas. What took place in our city's history of Austin, if you find it happening today, is our city's growing so fast, so big, so quickly that the downtown spots and lots are now at a very, very high premium as far as price is concerned. You can't buy downtown land in Austin, Texas very cheaply at all, like you could maybe 50 or 60 years ago. Well, the same thing is also true in many cities across our nation. As the cities expand and get bigger, the downtown areas get more and more expensive. Well, in Dallas, Texas, years ago, little old man living by himself, his wife had died, his kids have moved on, has an old beat-up, run-down house, but he will not sell his land to contractors and people of business. And they come to him, make offers to him. Finally, one strong Christian, godly, wise man came to that older guy by himself one day. He said, "Sir, I understand you don't want to sell this land. It's very, very valuable. Let me just ask you a question. Give me some insanely ridiculous price that you would sell this land for. Let me just take and consider that." Well, the guy thinks for a while and gives an insanely high inflated price to that contractor. And the man, to his amazement, says, "I'll take it for that price. I'll come back tomorrow. I'll have the check in hand. I'll buy your property for that price." Well, the man thinks to himself as the day goes on, the night comes on, he's going to bed at night. He thinks to himself, "You know, I really took advantage of that guy. I charged a ridiculously high price, way too much. I really kind of feel bad about what I've done to him." When the guy comes back the next day, he says, "You know, sir, I want to tell you this. This old house has got some potential. It's got a good foundation, not bad windows. The roof doesn't leak too badly. Tries to play up how good the house may be, potential for the house as well." This old man, this guy's going to buy his land, says, "Sir, look at this." He pulls out and rolls out the plans for an elaborate, multi-storied steel and glass skyscraper. "I don't want your house," he said. "I'm going to tear your house down. I'm going to build this in this place. See, the fact is, sir, I don't care about the house and how bad it is. I care about the potential this thing can be used for the future." And Jesus Christ is the same thing to you and I. When you come to him, he doesn't care about what you've gone through, what you've built on the property of your heart in the past. He'll tear all that down. He'll build a shining skyscraper structure made of glass and steel, a home in glory. He'll put his Spirit inside of you and say, "You are worth the price. Whatever the price may be, I have paid the price," says the Lord. Amen? God is good, God is kind, and God is saying to you and I today, all he wants from us is a vacant lot. Cast all your cares upon him. Put away all the pretenses. Put away all the works, all the religion, all the things you can do to make God happy. They're all filthy rags in God's sight. Come as you are. Come in your transparency. Just be real with God in Jesus' name. Let's bow our head right now and close our eyes. This Valentine's weekend, I want to say the best gift we can give God this Valentine's Day, Saturday, the day after Valentine's, whatever you want to call it, the best gift we can give God is this. Give him our authenticity. Let's start being authentic with God. I said to you guys, the words I spoke here were harsh, that Jesus Christ spoke to Pharisees, not to Tree of Life Church people, not to Christians and believers today. But what he's saying to us is our own flesh sometimes can sink into inauthenticity and start putting up facades and become self-preserving. And try to receive man's acceptance. And try to receive man's praise. And what God is saying is, that's why God does say to us, "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, because you are trying to be someone that you're not. And I'll give you rest, because I love you as you are. All I want is a vacant lot," says the Lord. Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. I want to ask a simple question. That is Jesus Christ the Lord of all your life? Do you want to come to him today? In all your filthiness, perhaps, your mistakes, your shortcomings, and say, "Father God, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to give my life to Him, and I want to follow Him all the days of my life. If you're like that today and want to receive prayer, or be prayed for, or pray for yourself to receive Jesus Christ in your life, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps coming back to Him today in what we call rededication back to the Lord. Would you be very, very honest this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed for privacy's sake. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me today, Pastor Mike. I want my heart right with God today. Just raise your hand real high if you're like that this morning. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Lord. Well, praise God. I know here at this church again, Tree of Life Church, we're a healthy people. We're a strong people. And so I thank God if you folks are all right now, your hearts are right with Him. What I hear, since God is saying now beyond this prayer, to give our lives to Christ, to make Him the Lord of our lives, is He's saying to us, let's be those who will take and also tear down facades in praise, in worship, in adoration to Him. Let us know that God is not angry with us. He's not mad at us. God is not trying to resist us. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Those who will humble themselves under the mighty hand, under His hand, He will not judge them. He will love them. His hand's not there to squash you. His hand is there to embrace you, to love you, to accept you, to pat you, to stroke you in a way that only comes from God's heart. Because God is a God of love and a God of mercy. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Hypocrites judge under their hand, their wisdom, their might, their pride, their arrogance. Under God's hand, there is only mercy. There is only forgiveness. There is only love. There is only acceptance. There is only good things under the shadow of His wings, under His love. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. I'm going to ask you guys, if you would, to start singing this song, Let It Rain, Let It Rain. As they sing this song, Let It Rain, sing this song if you will, pray if you will. Let's right now remove any facade we may have inside of our own lives and ask God, let us help us be real before Him every day of our lives.